Welcome to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Del challenges the status quo, questions everything, and empowers you to return to your core beliefs to make your life better. If you're ready to hear the truth and get your roadmap to the lifestyle you really want, the next hour will change your life. And now, your host, self-made millionaire, national award-winning investor of the year, CEO and founder of Lifestyles Unlimited, Del Walmsley.
Welcome to the Del Walmsley Radio Show, where the hype ends and help begins. I'm your host, Del Walmsley, and as always, we're working on your financial freedom. Well, my friends, all over the place today. Really, truly all over the place today. I was reading articles before I came on here about how more and more and more Americans are going to retire in poverty or below the poverty level or whatever it is, however they say that. And it is interesting, as right after I got done reading all this about how Social Security isn't going to take care of you, Social Security is actually going down. They made the statement that Social Security has actually gone down by 30% in what you receive over the last couple of years. And the way that it's going down is they have passed a law that says that the age of retirement is going to get pushed back. So it was 65 years of age. You know, remember one time it was 62 and then it was 65 and now it's 66 is the age of retirement. And it will eventually become 67. And then who knows where they'll take it from there. But it's slated to be 67 by year 2022, I believe it is. So each year that you don't collect reduces that which you're going to be able to collect because you're going to die. And it's not going to come in there. The other thing they're trying to do is they're trying to con you into not collecting it by telling you that if you'll wait, and I mean everybody tells you to do this, wait as long as you possibly can to start collecting your Social Security. So they push it off into 72, I think it is. If you can hold out to age 72, you'll receive 30% more than if you start taking it right when you're eligible to start taking it. So, you know, the maximum you can get from Social Security is like $2,200 a month, I think. I get the maximum out because I've made enough money in life that I've paid that in. And so if you get 30% more, you get $600 a month more. I mean, golly, folks, that just isn't that much better. And to wait all the way till you're 72, you know, most people die in their 70s. And so it boggles my mind. And the next thing that boggles my mind is, okay, Social Security is becoming less effective. There are very few pensions left over anymore. So that's pretty much off the table nowadays. They've just passed a law where they can actually change old pensions and reduce their payout. That law just got passed. That was just a recent law. A week or two ago, they passed that law. It was part of the omnibus bill for to fund the government. And that was stuck in there secretly. Nobody knew about it. So now if you're on a pension from before, they can actually start cutting that pension and or reducing the rate that it grows. In other words, your cost of living, COLAs, your changes could be reduced. And so, again, you see, wow, another thing's leaning towards failure of retirement. Then they're talking about the fact that 401ks and IRAs never were effective for retirement. All they really were ever supposed to be was an additional amount of retirement. They're, you know, supposed to be an add-on to either a pension plan or to your Social Security or both. You know, if you get Social Security, you get a little pension and you get, you know, have some money saved up in a 401k and an IRA. Then maybe you can survive. But those things are ineffective. The stock market goes up and down anyway. So by the way, you might wake up one day, the day you want to retire, and the stock market's dropped 30 or 40% on you. It could very well happen. And it might be happening right around the corner from now. You see it's down 300 points today. My gosh, come on, folks. I mean, wake up. It's just problematic. But what really gets me, take all that, throw it all together, and put it in this bundle, and what really gets me is that if you listen to the radio every day, you can listen every day, you can listen to every channel that does talk, you can listen in every state, every city, and you're going to have five different financial planner guys get on there and act as if they know something that nobody else knows. And all five of these guys are all saying pretty much the same thing. They're all selling pretty much the same products to you, and that's where they're making their money, is selling products. If they knew how to make money and retire, they would be rich and retired. But they don't know how to make money by investing. Otherwise, they would be investing their money. I'm investing my money. I'm not making money by selling you product, right? I'm teaching you how to go invest your money for you. Yet these guys are on there every single day saying they've got some newfangled approach when it's exactly the same thing. And what I don't understand is, why do you, the public, joke, cute public, keep believing they're garbage? Because they're not producing income for you. There is nothing going on in their world that is making you rich or retiring you. You know, we speak here at Lifestyles about retirement as being that point in your life when your passive income equals or exceeds your earned income, to the point where you could quit your job and you wouldn't miss a stroke. They can't do that. Your 401k doesn't pay you any money. Your IRA doesn't pay you any money. The stuff that they put you in mutual funds doesn't pay you any money. It just sits there, goes up and down in value, up and down in value, up and down in value, but doesn't pay. There's no money coming into your mailbox. Then you go down the other road, this guy that says pay everything off in the world and just get rid of, pay everything off so you have a house that's paid in full. What good does that do you? Does that paid in full house pay even one payment to you? Do you get money in the mail from that paid in full house? No. You got to pay taxes, you got to pay insurance, you got to pay gas, water, electric. How do you pay all those things? You can't. Why? Because all your money's in your house. So what do you have to do? You have to keep working for the rest of your life, because that's the only way you know how to make money, is to work to earn. Trading time for money is the only approach that you've ever been taught. And yet these guys want you to keep working so that you'll keep saving, so you can keep giving them more money to put in their retirement accounts that they're managing for you, that they're making commissions off of. And their portfolio is getting larger and larger and larger and larger, and they're making more and more and more money off your money, and you're not making any more money off your money. You're losing money in many cases. I heard this prelim to a radio show the other day. I won't say whose it is, but he said the prelim works out something like this. To be considered in the National Association of Financial Planners top 10 list does not mean that you have been financially better than anybody else. It doesn't mean that at all. He says it doesn't have anything to do with the rate of return that you're earning for your investors. It has to do with how much money you have under management and how much other business you do out there in the public, philanthropic business, give back, social issues, how popular you are, but nothing to do. Financial planners will not give you a rate of return. They talk and talk and talk and talk and talk about how they have the right things to do, but they don't have anything different than anybody else, and they cannot guarantee you a rate of return. They can't even come close to guaranteeing you a rate of return, and they won't. And so they'll talk in generalities. Your retirement is not a generality, my friends. Your retirement is something that needs to have a rate of return that is produced in a high enough level that the amount of money that you have can get you through it. If you don't have that, then you can't retire. Yeah, you'll be working for the rest of your life unless you can replace your earned income with enough passive income to make that happen. That's what this show's about. That's why you're listening to this show. instead of their shows. And my goal is to get on every radio station in the country that does talk and take this message to you. You need to hear this message because their message is old, worn out, and ineffective. It's time for you to start changing your life. You should be able to retire within 5 years or less. 7 at the absolute most. Some people do it in 2, and some could do it even sooner than that. That's what we're here to talk about. That's what this show is about. And when we come back, we're going to start working on issues that have to do with that. We'll take a short break. We'll be right back with the Del Walmsley Radio Show.
You're listening to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Del will be right back with more life-changing principles in just a few minutes.
When you look at the effects of what happened in 2008 and you compare it to what we are hopefully coming out of right now, real estate has definitely shown its resiliency. It has provided for people not only a place to live, but a place to work, a place to raise their children, a place to teach their children, a place to prepare all of their meals.
And that's really where the rubber meets the road, is that there are two things that people have to have, and they strive very hard to have them, and that's a roof over their head and food on the table. And if you are investing in something related to either of those two things, you are going to have a winning strategy. And in addition to that, you're providing something of value to the people around you. And creating a win-win situation while creating wealth and passive income for yourself is the best life you can get.
Real estate is resilient. You should have real estate in your portfolio. Join us for the next live online free workshop. Register at lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com.
The other thing I think people hear landlord or property owner, and they think of Donald Trump and other multi-billionaires that own real estate, and that's not who the vast majority of owners across the nation are. The typical owner of a rental property owns just a couple properties, and they're people just like me and you.
You can own single-family houses and apartments too. We'll show you how. Register at lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com. Join our national network of rental owners.
Welcome back. Now here's some more unconventional wisdom to set you free from the man on a mission to retire America, one person at a time, Del Walmsley.
I was ranting on about financial planners, but their products are terrible. They're absolutely useless. They don't make you any money. Let me explain to you why we use real estate to create passive income. It's very important to understand this. It's 5 reasons, actually. 5 different ways we make money with real estate. Whereas, you know, gold may appreciate, but it has no cash flow. Stocks and bonds are very risky. They're gambling. They go up and down. Still no cash flow. And you can go left, go right, pick up anything you want to talk about. But they don't have all these different components. Let's talk about, first of all, when we go buy a piece of real estate, a very high percentage of the time, we buy it below what it's actually appraised for. I mean, that's the number one step that we're looking for, is a piece of real estate we can buy for less than what it's worth. And we call that equity capture. Now, let's think about that. If you wanted to go buy stock right now, Microsoft, and Microsoft is worth $100 a share, what would you have to pay for Microsoft? $100 a share. You can't go down to the store and go, I'd like to buy some cheap Microsoft. There's no cheap Microsoft out there. There's no cheap stock at all. In other words, when you buy, you haven't made a dime. Now, the only thing you have to look forward to is speculation, is the hope, the greater fool theory that someone out there is dumber than you are. Look, I bought it for $100 a share. There's got to be an idiot out there that'd give me $101 a share. Isn't there? Come on, somebody dumb, stupid, pay more for this garbage than I did so I can make some money. It's called the win-lose theory. For me to make a buck, somebody else has to lose that buck. I've got to beat them into insanity to do something stupid. But here's the real question. Look in the mirror. Who is that stupid person getting beat into insanity to try to make a buck? That stupid person is you. If you're in the stock market, because the guys at the top that own the companies, they're making hundreds of millions of dollars a year using your money. The stock market was not designed to produce a rate of return for investors. The stock market was designed to raise capital from foolish people to give it to rich people to get richer. That's what the stock market's there for. And it works. It really does work. You raise all the capital you want if you want to go out there and do that stuff, all right? Number two, and this is the craziest one, cash flow. How much is your 401k sending you in the mail each month? That would be zero. How about your IRA? That would be zero. How about your paid in full home? That'd be zero. There's no cash flow. How do you ever retire if you don't have cash flow? It takes cash flow to retire. And that's what real estate produces. Now, what kind of cash on cash return do you get in most investments? Well, bonds have cash flow. 1%, 2%, 3%, 4%. Probably not anymore. You know, CDs, 1%, 2%, 3% or more, not anymore. Do they earn 4%? So you look at all these things out there that have the potential. What do annuities pay? Well, they don't pay anything until you left the money in there for 20 or 30 years, right? Real estate earns you cash flow day one. The day you buy it, it starts earning you cash flow. The next thing it does is there's something called forced capital gains. We can actually make the value of the property go up. Now, we bought it below property value, but we can make it go up in value above the property value it already has. How? By rehabbing it and making it go up in value, or by doing a turnaround on an apartment complex, by managing it correctly as opposed to incorrectly, and watch the value skyrocket up. How much rate of return do we get this way? Folks, 50%, 100%, 200%, I've seen 400% and 500% returns in capital gains. You're not going to get 400% or 500% return in capital gain in the stock market. No way. If you get a 5% growth a year, you'd be doing well. You know, they've lied to you forever and told you the stock market grows at 12% a year. I'd like to see that. I want you to prove to me that your portfolio goes up 12% every year for the last 10 years. I don't think it does. In fact, over the last 10 years, it went down and then it came back, but it didn't go up 12% a year. I mean, that'd be 100% gain since 2007 or whatever it was. No, I'd be further back than 2005, right? So we have forced appreciation, forced capital gains. Then there's just natural appreciation. You know, real estate values go up and down and up and down and up and down. But if you look at them over a long period of time, over a longer curve, they go up. Just like the stock market, if you look at it over a longer curve, you know, 20, 30, 40 years, the stock market does go up. I mean, I remember when the stock market was 3,000, Dow 3,000, Dow 5,000, Dow 6,000, Dow 10,000. Now they're at Dow, whatever it is, 14, 15,000, you know, 18, whatever. It does go up over the long haul, but so does real estate. You know, my dad bought a home when I was a kid for $10,000. We lived there for X number of years, and he turned around and sold it for $100,000. I mean, real estate goes up in value. There's just no doubt about it. And so you get that appreciation. The other one you get, though, is tax savings. Great amounts of tax savings. See, if you do real estate correctly, then the cash flow is going to be tax-free. But you have to do it correctly. You have to know how to do it right. You can't go pay cash for it, right? You're going to have leverage to be able to get it to where it doesn't make so much money that it's not taxable. You're going to have to know how to buy it and how to set up the deal to make it happen. But if you do, real estate can be tax-free. Let's talk about capital gains. You can pull your money out of your property to take either the forced capital gains that we forced to happen or the equity we captured, right? Or the appreciation. We can take all three of those out of the deal in one of two ways without any taxable offense. And the first one is going to be by refinancing and pulling the money out tax-free. Yes, literally hundreds of percent return pulled out of the property tax-free by refinancing and taking the money out. Now, we never pay that money back. We never pay that loan back. That loan is paid back by our tenants. Or if we sell the property, then we're going to roll that gain over into the next property in something called a 1031 tax-free exchange. So again, we're making the capital gains tax-free. Now, what's interesting about that is that I talked to a guy about his retirement plan, and he inherited an IRA from his mother. Well, he is forced to start taking money out of the IRA because of the inheritance taxes plan, and he's going to have to pay taxes on that money. That doesn't happen with an apartment complex or a house. If you are able to give your property, inherit it up to your children, they're going to inherit the property in what is called a stepped-up basis. That means they inherit it at the total value that it's worth the day they get it, and they start depreciating that again. So right away, they're earning tax-free income, and they're not paying a dime to pull that money out of that property. Not a dime. If they refinance and pull that money out, it's still tax-free. You do not have to pay the taxes. But if you want to pull money out of your parents' 401k or IRA, you're going to have to pay taxes.
We'll be right back with the Del Wamsley Radio Show.
Lifestyles Unlimited invites you to the world's largest wealth and passive income expo, September 3rd and 4th, Irving, Texas. You'll connect with successful investors and industry experts. Learn being real estate retired at any age. Attend breakout sessions with industry experts. Learn from real people successfully investing in real estate right now. Leave with your passive income plan in hand. The entire Lifestyles Unlimited team of realtors, mentors, educators, and operational consultants want to meet you Friday and Saturday, September 3rd and 4th in the Metroplex Irving Convention Center at Las Colinas. Join thousands of top investors and multimillionaire real estate investor Del Wamsley. Del is mentor to top award-winning investors across the country. Go to WealthAndPassiveIncomeExpo.com. Enter promo code FREEDOM and receive $97 off any pass or package. That's WealthAndPassiveIncomeExpo.com. Promo code FREEDOM. WealthAndPassiveIncomeExpo.com.
Welcome back. Now here's some more unconventional wisdom to set you free from the man on a mission to retire America, one person at a time, Del Wamsley.
Call us at 866-945-6565. That's 866-945-6565. We make money in real estate in both the up and the down market. We probably make more money in the down market than we do in the up market because the opportunities are so great. But we make money in both markets, and we've been enjoying for the last, 7 or 8 years now, a long-running upward trending market to where people are starting to say, well, doesn't it seem like it's been too long? It's probably time for the market to go south. And interestingly enough, all the indicators out there don't show that. I mean, you would think it was true. You'd think that the bottom should be ready to fall out of everything. And I wouldn't mind it if it did, because I just buy more stuff at cheap prices and keep the stuff I have instead of selling it. But it's just a situation because the cash flows are still going to be there. But it's just interesting that it hasn't had that kind of a look. There's, oil prices are going down, so people started worrying in Texas area the oil prices are going down. But in return for oil prices going down, construction has started going up. And the economy is better than it's ever been. I mean, we had the highest increase in the economy in the last quarter than we've had in 10 or 15 years, I think they said the other day. It's just a phenomenal economy. And it doesn't look like it's slowing down anytime soon, because what's happening is Texas got a big nuclear jump on everybody because of oil. But everybody else is now catching up. And it's in a situation where they've started to understand what Obamacare is going to do to them. Businesses are hiring again. In fact, they did another 300,000 new jobs just last month. The economy is rocking. So how long will this keep going? Is this a six-month deal? A one-year deal? How long? And I've got an article here that was sent to me that may have some insight. Lawrence Young, chief economist for the National Association of Realtors, predicted at the 2014 Realtors Conference and Expo that a rebound for the existing home sales will continue for the next 2 years, and the projected national median existing home price will rise at a moderate 4% per year rate in each of these next 2 years. On the new home front, David Crow, chief economist for the National Association of Home Builders, said that October webinar that multifamily housing starts were projected to hold steady. Multifamily housing starts have rebounded back to normal since the downturn, mostly due to strong demand for rents, okay? Who also noted that the renter households have increased by 4 million since 2010. So that's 4 years, while homeowner households have decreased by 1 million. So what are they saying there? Let's get arms around this for a second. What they're saying to you is this industry has changed by over 1 million families from being home buyers to home renters. It's saying that the apartment industry recognized that and jumped back in and started building, got its construction levels back up to normal. But the single family homes have not come back to normal as construction goes, because really the article I read, there was three reasons, okay? And we'll go into all three of them. One is there are no first-time home buyers. The millennials don't want to buy. They've seen their parents wiped out. They don't want to get in that same situation. They've never really cared to own anything. They're not really all that excited about buying things, okay? So there's no first-time homeowners. Secondly, builders realize there's no first-time homeowners or home purchasers. So what they've done is stop building starter homes. And they've moved all of their construction towards a second or third home. The big kahuna, the McMansions, as they called them for years. And that's what they're building, is second and third type homes. And most of the homes that are being bought by people in their 40s and 50s, right? So these are the homes they want. They're very expensive homes. Where does that place us in the economy? What happens is, guys, is that if there's no starter homes, and we own all the starter homes. Why? Because these are the homes that we bought up. We bought up all the bread and butter homes out there over the last couple of years as investors, the last 7 years, and they haven't built anymore. No one's wanted to buy them because the kind of people that actually qualify to live in them, as far as their socioeconomic bracket, they're renters now. They're not buyers. They've become 1 million more net renters. And so we own these things and they're renting them. There is a high demand to rent, a low demand to buy. So the prices are going up rapidly on rents. Now, having said that, Young, that chief economist for the National Association of Realtors, is saying, even with that being the case, that housing prices are going to go up by 4% each year for the next 2 years. Now, there gets to be another discussion, and this article goes into it. It's very complex, right? And it goes into both for houses and apartments. But here's the complex consideration. When housing started coming back, you know, we hit bottom 2008, 2009, I think it was. And when housing started coming back in late 2009, early 2010, the stuff that was going up the fastest in value was the expensive stuff for the reasons I just stated to you. They're building it new, it's valuable, it's expensive, and rich people or more financially secure people in their 40s and 50s were buying this stuff. So the upper end was growing the fastest. The same thing happened in apartments. The Class A apartment complexes, which were being built to catch up with all the demand that had not been built for the last couple of years. You don't go build a Class C or Class D apartment complex. You build a Class A. So they built all these Class A's, and they raised the rents on these things because they have to have higher rents to be able to get higher prices for these things. And so the rents went from $1,000 a month in a nice Class A to $2,000 a month in a nice Class A. I mean, it's 100% gain in income on these things. It's incredible. Right? And so these Class A's started going up in value right away. We saw it happen 4, 5, 6 years ago. Up they went. But the lower end stuff didn't go up that much in value. And so there became a spread. And there is this natural curve where you have this separation between A to B to C to D. There's a natural deviation between all of those, right? When you go to figure out what one is. But what started happening was it started running away from the natural deviations. And all of a sudden, Class A's had gone up a lot. Class B's had gone up a lot. Class C's and D's hadn't gone up that much. And so now the difference in value between the low end and the high end was radically different. Well, what they're saying right now is that's starting to change. The Class A's have reached just about as high as they can go, although they will keep going up, like it said, 4% a year in value. But they're not going up at 10 and 20% per year and leaving the other stuff behind. Secondarily, what's happened is there is a new wave in the apartment industry out there right now, which is saying, look, we're going to buy up this lower end stuff and we're going to fix it up, because if you can drop a new door on the ground for $200,000 a door, and we can go buy one for $50,000 a door and put $50,000 in it and it be in all in for $100,000 a door, and you can get $2 per square foot rent and we can get $1.50 per square foot rent, our net gain is higher than your net gain on that new construction. And so all of a sudden, people started buying up Class C's and turning them into Class B pluses in some neighborhoods. Could be an A minus in other neighborhoods, but they were totally renovating these things. I saw this happen in my neighborhood. I had an apartment complex that went up, gosh, it was like a mile away from mine. And I was getting, let's say 70 cent rents. And my stuff is 70s construction. And about a mile away from me was another building that was 70s construction that they literally gutted it. I mean, all the way back to the studs, and brought it all the way back out as a Class A minus, B plus, I don't know what they'd call it. But I mean, it looked like a Class A as much as it could be, that it doesn't have the structural makeup of a Class A. But they redid this thing and boom. The rent went up to $1.35, $1.40, $1.50 a square foot. Doubled my rents. Got me thinking real quick that maybe I need to be looking at doing some of that stuff myself. But it's out there, and that's what's happening right now, and that's where the opportunities are coming through for us.
We'll be right back with the Del Walmsley Radio Show.
Walmsley on the economy and politics.
What happens if the economy turns around and goes back down now the Democrats are in power, or inflation becomes rampant and all of a sudden it becomes very difficult to do business? I was listening to an economist the other day and he pulled out this chart of GDP. He said, look, here's what I want you to do. He said, tell me anywhere from 1950 to 2021 where the Democrats took power and where the Republicans took power. He said, point it out for me. And the truth of the matter is, you can't tell.
If you're sitting on the sidelines waiting to see what the politicians are going to do, or waiting to see what the economy is going to do, if you're trying to predict the future, stop. Politicians and the economy have no bearing on your success or failure. Only you do. Register for the next live online free workshop. We'll unfold the map to retirement in 5 years or less, regardless of what's going on in the world. It's the same proven strategies we've been using for 30 years through every political party and economic cycle you can think of. Register at lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com.
Call us at 866-945-6565. That's 866-945-6565. We went national and international, and now we have members all over the country, in about six different countries also. Interesting point is I get a lot of emails just like this. It's very obvious that in different areas of the country, there are different investment opportunities or lack thereof in some situations. And so since we've become a national firm, we've had to increase our ability to be able to help people in other areas. However, there's many different ways that we can help people in other areas. And I'm going to read this email to you because I think it summarizes it pretty well. And then I'll come back and spend a little time and explain a little more. It says, Happy New Year. I've been listening to your show for a few years regularly and have learned a lot about your process and what makes you and your team successful. I'm an out-of-state member. I'm in California and interested in, as you might say, exceptionally accelerating growth this year. I'm 49 years old, have three kids, and want to rapidly build a passive income stream. I've had some rental properties and have flipped with partners some single-family homes in the last 5 years, along with some spec development. And I agree with you, spec development is not the way to go. My challenge is, in California, single-family homes start at $400,000. They are far from where I live. Multifamily is often in the $200,000 to $400,000 per door price range with cap rates of 5 to 7%. I feel like I need to go out of state to find a decent return at a reasonable entry price. However, I do have a concern that if I'm investing in a market I can easily and quickly drive to or fly to. If I am, I might substantially increase my risk, even if he couldn't drive to it or fly to it quickly. Okay. So first of all, let's go back here to one point he made, because I think it's an important point. And that is, houses start at $400,000. And what's interesting is those houses that start for $400,000 would be equivalent to homes in Texas that cost probably less than $100,000. In other words, that is your bad product there in bad neighborhoods. And so I can understand that. Now, on the other hand, when you have very, very high prices, the ability to buy and renovate and make the property worth more could have a substantial gain effect. Let me tell you what I mean. If I could buy a house here for $100,000 and make it go up to $120,000 in value, I've made a 20% gain and $20,000 gain. But if I go buy a house for $400,000 and make a 20% gain, I made $80,000. So there is some things to say about inexpensive areas. Flip this house type of a concept works out pretty well. And I've seen this done, you know, in the East Coast, a lot of that kind of stuff. You see it all the time in this old house and how they go in and spend $1 million on a house that looks like a piece of garbage that we'd tear down here in Texas. But they go in and spend another $1 million on it, renovate it, and then boom, it's worth a lot of money. It's a crazy deal. And it happens in L.A., you know, in certain situations. You could make that same kind of gain. But it has to be somewhere where there is a limited possibility to build more housing. That's the only place it really works. Gated communities, things like that. Doesn't work here in Texas. Buying and rehabbing just doesn't make you that much money. On the contrary, on the flip side, buying and holding in the Texas market is really easy to do because we can buy stuff cheap with massive cash flows. It's inexpensive to maintain this stuff here, and you just get a better bang for your buck. So it goes on and says, I'd like to get your thoughts on investing out of state, perhaps Texas, and the best way to approach that as a California resident. Outside of simply foregoing relationships and becoming a passive investor, which is an option I have considered, okay? I like your idea of skipping through single-family investments and favor bigger opportunities. Absolutely. In this situation here, Bob, what you need to do is you need to go either become a passive investor with other investors where you don't have to worry that your business is being watched day to day, or you need to buy your own apartment complex. And the reason why you need an apartment complex is because you need a management company to run your asset for you. Single-family houses can have management companies also, but they charge an arm and a leg. They charge as much as 10% of the gross income plus one full month's rent every time they rent your unit. That's astronomical. That's eating up about 20% of your gross income a year, and that's your profit margin. So it just doesn't work to buy houses from out of state unless you can just steal them 50 cents on the dollar kind of thing like we were doing a few years ago. On the other hand, the apartment industry is designed to have management companies running these things. And so that's already a part of the cost of operations. And so you can buy one of these things and simply hire a management company, and then you stay on top of the reports. That's all you have to do. If you want to come in and see it once every 6 months, yeah, do it. Come in and see it. Just inspect it. Do a walkthrough, whatever. That's not a big deal. But you're getting reports every single month, complete set of reports. Now, I have two different management companies that manage my stuff, and I literally require a report every day, which allows me to see on a daily basis what we have leased that day, what we've leased week to date that week, how much money we've collected that day, and how much money we've collected month to date, so I can make sure that my collections are getting in. I can see it happening. If it isn't happening, I got a conversation I want to have on the phone with somebody. Somebody wants a phone or email. I'm going to make it known that I'm unhappy with that situation. I have them report their occupancy on a daily basis. And if that occupancy starts going the wrong direction, then again, I got a conversation I need to have with that person. Might be an email conversation. It might be a phone call, depending on how much I think it needs to be dealt with, to what severity level. All right. But with that, my friend, Bob, you're going to be able to own real estate in Texas or anywhere else you want to own it and be able to manage it. And you can still live out there where you like living, but have the investment possibilities that are much larger here in the Texas area if you want to do that. And by the way, that's true all over the country. Now, one other thing, just so you know, we do help people buy real estate in their own states. So if you live out of state, we can still help you buy your stuff in your state. That's not a problem. We do that also. It's just a job, Bob lives in California, and he can't get the same kind of opportunities there that we can pick up in other states. So for the rest of you, wherever you're at, whether it's another state or another country, Lifestyles right now is prepared to take you where you need to go and to create a lifestyle like none other. But remember, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle. See you tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to the Del Walmsley Radio Show, teaching you the opposite of everything you've been taught, so you can obtain the results you've never obtained. Join us 7 days a week. Can't get enough? Visit DellOnTheRadio.com to listen to the Del Walmsley Radio Show, access past show podcasts, and join the conversation.
The information and opinions you hear on the Del Walmsley Radio Show are those of the host, Del Walmsley, his guests, and his callers, and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Del Walmsley Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Del Walmsley Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.